Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour is brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour. Patrick Conley with you again here on this weekend of the second Sunday of Lent. We are into the festivities. I think that's actually not too far off. Yes, it is a time of contemplation, of penitence, and of turning ourselves over to the Lord yet again, recognizing our own utter dependence upon the Lord. But it is meant to be a season of joy as well, joy that saturates our lives and our hearts as we turn ourselves over to God and look for His working in our lives. This past week, Lent is also a season where we focus on our own mortality, as it starts with Ash Wednesday. Remember that we are dust, and to dust we shall return. And as we're thinking about that, as I was thinking about that, over this past week, there have been three men who have played significant roles in the local church and also in our hearts and lives who passed away this last week. Two of them locally who have really, again, affected the life of the local church. But one of them in particular, I'm sure you heard that Billy Graham passed away this last week, and may he rest in peace. He's done a lot of good for the kingdom. But these three men, as I was thinking about, that have impacted the church in such a way, of course, through the Holy Spirit working in and through them. I was thinking about, well, what makes for that kind of an impact on the church? How does one turn oneself over to the Lord to that extent that the influence that one is having on the local church can be seen in your own time, but likely felt for generations to come? And really, that's what we are going to be focusing on here on the Rediscover Hour today as we talk about the upcoming Archdiocesan Men's Conference, which is coming up on March the 10th. We'll have all the details for you throughout the show today. But actually, right at the outset, I want to say, ladies, if you are listening, don't turn it off. Keep listening, because my guess is you have men in your life, whether it be fathers or brothers or husbands or sons, who probably should consider coming to the Archdiocesan Men's Conference. Couple of things that we'll hear throughout the program is that this is for, one, men of all ages. It is for fathers and sons. The focus of the conference is on fatherhood, but not just biological fatherhood, but also spiritual fatherhood, that all men are indeed called to be fathers. So we're going to be exploring that a lot more through the course of the show. It's not just for Catholics. That's right. Christians of other faiths, even men of no faith, are welcome to the Archdiocesan Men's Conference to learn more about what it means to live a life that is truly one of true manhood, of following after the Lord, yes, but living is the way the Lord calls and intends. And I am guessing, in fact, I would not go beyond guessing, I would be confident that even if a man comes who has no profound faith in his life, he will still be met with the opportunity for celebration and the opportunity for being challenged about how he can grow in his own manhood, in his own living out his life as a man. So joining me here in studio would be Monsignor Thomas Richter, who is the rector-elect at the St. Paul Seminary, who is also the keynote speaker at the men's conference. And we're going to be speaking with him about the upcoming men's conference. We're also going to be talking with Dave Rinaldi, who's going to be leading one of the breakout sessions at the men's conference. He works with Net Ministries here in town. And to start things off, though, I was able a little bit earlier this week to sit down with Bishop Cousins and get his thoughts on the men's conference as he was reflecting on what really the goal and the purpose of this men's conference is. Paul Sadek, our technical producer, has that called up. So let's listen to what Bishop Cousins has to say.
This is Patrick Conley, and I'm here with Bishop Cousins, who's going to tell us a little bit more about the upcoming men's conference on Saturday, March 10th. Bishop Cousins, thank you for taking the time to do this.
So delighted to be able to be with you, Patrick.
So tell us a little bit about why is it important? This may be an obvious question, but why is it important for men to get together like this, for Catholic men to get together like this?
There's a beautiful kind of esprit de corps that happens when Catholic men get together to share their faith and to share with each other. And so it's really important, actually, for us to get together to support each other and to be able to encourage each other as we seek to live our Catholic faith. But the real thing is this is also a great opportunity to invite men who maybe don't go to church or at least don't go to church regularly or need an opportunity to grow deeper in their faith. This event is going to be very engaging, a lot of fun, a great chance for them to see, wow, lots of men actually really do believe and want to follow Jesus in his church. So this event will help promote that, and it's a great place to invite new people.
Great. And it's an expanded day now, isn't it? It's in a little bit different format than it has been in past years.
Yeah, we've been doing the men's conference for something like 14 or 15 years, and we finally decided to go with a full-day format because so many men were asking for it. And so we'll begin at 9:30 in the morning and end at 4 in the afternoon. And we have really a ton of great things planned for the day. Two great keynotes, some great workshops, opportunity for everybody to go to confession. We'll start with Mass with Archbishop Hebda. We'll end with Eucharistic Adoration that I will lead. So it's going to be a full day, but it's going to be a really great day.
And what can you tell us about Monsignor Richter, the keynote speaker?
Well, we're delighted to have Monsignor Thomas Richter, who is the rector-elect from the St. Paul Seminary. That is, he will begin to be rector of the St. Paul Seminary this summer. And Monsignor Richter comes from North Dakota, and he's a North Dakota man. You get to see that in him. But really an excellent speaker, a man who is a very convicting speaker, and well, really he's going to speak to men about what it means to be able to receive their fatherhood from God and how that changes our life when we start to allow our own life to be ordered by the fatherhood of God. And I think anyone who has ever listened to him, if you haven't, Google him, you know, Thomas Richter on YouTube, you'll find lots of engaging speeches, but you'll find that he's going to be an excellent speaker.
Great. And you mentioned fatherhood. I understand that that's kind of a theme that's underlining the whole of the conference. So I'm assuming more than just natural fathers should come, yeah?
Yeah, this is a men's conference. It's for all men, and all of us are in certain ways fathers. Certainly as a bishop, I'm a father. Priests are fathers. Single men, though, are called in some way in their life to be fathers. That is, to help build the Christian life in their environments and in their worlds and in their own lives. And so we really want to help all men engage this part of them that they're called to be a father. And we're really inviting fathers to invite their sons to this year's men's conference. We're going to have actually even a track at one point for just for young people themselves. So we hope it'll be a father-son event.
Great. And there's something in the afternoon, I understand, called Fight the New Drug. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, we're very excited to have this national organization, Fight the New Drug, come and give us a keynote presentation on the dangers of pornography in our culture. I think most people know that, for example, fully one-third of the internet is pornography. And we're dealing with a real epidemic in our culture today with the number of especially young men who are addicted to pornography, who find that they can't actually let go of this great struggle. And what we want to do is help build fathers. And so we want to help all men understand this problem, recognize it, and begin to get tools to help themselves and others who need to overcome this problem. Let's admit the truth, which is this problem is dramatically affecting marriages. It's dramatically affecting families, and it's just simply out there. Any priest who hears confessions knows this, and so we want to really give tools that this organization, Fight the New Drug, has come up with that can help both understand the problem and attack it.
Wonderful. It sounds incredibly intriguing. What about something in respect to vocation, as men are called to be fathers, as you've already told us? Is this something, is the Archdiocesan Men's Conference going to be something in which men can further explore the calling that they individually have from God?
You know, we're definitely going to have different workshops on different ways to live, that we're each called by God. And of course, We use that vocation, we use that word vocation, we use it in different senses, but certainly there's the capital V vocation. Am I called to marriage? Am I called to priesthood? Am I called to religious life? And we actually will have a testimony from a man who's received the call to the diaconate, because we want men in our archdiocese to think about whether or not they're called to be deacons. That's open to married and celibate men, right? But we will have other things that deal with that small V vocation, which is, how do I respond to my calling? And so, for example, Dr. Naughton from the University of St. Thomas is going to give a workshop on spiritual fatherhood and how do I live my vocation as a father in my family, and how do I build that into my family, especially through learning to reverence the Lord's Day as a central part of my life, as the commandments tell me I am supposed to do, you know? And then we'll also have a great section for teens, put on by Dave Rinaldi from Net Ministries, who will also be talking about, how do I respond to that personal call of Christ in my life? And then one of our workshops will be for Spanish-speaking people. The whole day will be translated in English and Spanish. And so, nosotros queremos que todos los que hablan español pueden venir. But we will have a particular workshop just for those who speak Spanish.
Muy bien. Will there be any music or musical guests at this conference?
Yeah, we've got some exciting different musical options planned. We have the I forget their name, but there's a quartet of seminarians that's going to be singing at different points during the day. They're actually very good. They haven't cut any albums yet, but then we also have another artist in the afternoon, Luke Spihar. Luke is a local Christian artist who's going to be helping us lead music during adoration.
Mm. Wonderful. So a guy is sitting out there. He's sitting on the fence. He's not quite sure whether he should come or not. What would your word of encouragement be to him?
I'd say it's Lent. You need to do something to grow in your faith. And so this is a great opportunity to take a kind of retreat day during Lent with other men. I promise you, you're going to be inspired, challenged, and you're going to come away with a deeper experience of love of the Lord. Besides, you got to go to confession anyway. We're going to have dozens of priests there hearing confessions. So make this a part of your Lenten observance.
Fantastic. Just one last thing, Bishop, before we let you go. Could you give us an on-air blessing as well?
Sure, I'd be glad to do that. May the blessing of Almighty God descend upon all of the Christians in the Archdiocese, and especially those men in the Archdiocese, that they could become the fathers that the Lord desires them to be. And may Almighty God bless you all, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Bishop Cousins, thank you so much for being on the Rediscover Hour.
There he was, Bishop Cousins. And we also have in studio Monsignor Thomas Richter, the keynote speaker at the Men's Conference. And on the phone, we'll be speaking with Dave Rinaldi right here on this episode of the Rediscover Hour. But before we launch into this great show, let's as always pause and offer it up to our Lord through the intercession of our Blessed Mother, as we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're going to be right back with Monsignor Thomas Richter, the rector-elect of the St. Paul Seminary and keynote speaker at the Archdiocesan Men's Conference. Stay with us.
Do you know what it means to give first? It's giving without asking for something in return, right? Helping a neighbor, friend, or family member. Giving your time, energy, or money to support a great cause. Well, the folks at Catholic United Financial know firsthand the benefits of giving first. Why? Because they're a not-for-profit financial company. For example, no one asked them to raise millions of dollars each year for Catholic schools. It's what they do. No one asked them to give post-secondary scholarships to over 500 kids each year. It's what they do. No one asked them to create a disaster response team 10 years ago to help those in need. And finally, no one asked them to hold annual volunteer events to help benefit the homeless and those less well-off. They do it because they're a give-first organization, and they've been doing it for 140 years. People helping people with life insurance, annuities, and retirement products. Look them up at CatholicUnitedFinancial.org and do business with a give-first organization. Give them a call today.
Tear away the ties that bind you. Roll away.
welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. I am pleased now to welcome to the program Monsignor Thomas Richter, who is currently the rector of the Cathedral of the Holy Spirit in Bismarck, North Dakota. As you heard from Bishop Cousins, he is a North Dakota man. I know some North Dakota men. They are good men. And I'm pleased to get to know him a little bit here. We're going to speak with him a little bit about who he is and also about what he's going to be talking about at the Archdiocesan Men's Conference. But, Monsignor Richter, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Patrick. It's a joy to be with you and all your listeners.
Thank you. And I do need to clarify, are you still technically the rector up at the cathedral in Bismarck?
No, I am not.
Okay, so they booted you.
Yes.
All right.
Once Christmas hit, that ended.
Oh, I see.
And
I see.
So, I was invited here by the Archbishop. So my first assignment was to jump on a plane and head to the Holy Land with the great guys in Third Theology and Father McGill, a vice rector.
Wow.
And so my first assignment, my first job, was to spend 3.5 weeks in the Holy Land. A dirty job, but somebody's got to do it. And so
I readily
offered my services. So it was a great way to begin getting to know these good men.
Wonderful. Wonderful. So tell us a little bit. I know our listeners are curious, as am I. Tell us a little bit about just yourself. We've established the fact that you're from North Dakota. What was your growing up like? Urban, rural? A lot of big family?
Well, I suppose the most important thing about getting to know who I am is getting to know my family. Mm. I come from a precious family, from dear parents. I suppose I'm biased, but I have a wonderful mother and father, Victor and Mary. Grew up on a diversified dairy farm outside of Bismarck, 20 miles. We milk cows. We raise beef cattle. We also farmed both cash crop, but also to feed the animals. The main way mom and dad fed us and paid bills was by the milk check. So I grew up milking cows every morning and night, or every day, I should say. And so for all of you dairy farmers out there, if you ever need somebody to help you out, don't ever think about calling me. I know better. So grew up, I have 9 brothers and 4 sisters. So a large family. I'd like to think we're a close family.
Yeah. And where are you in the order of that?
Just right in the middle, number 7.
Are you? Oh, lucky number 7.
As middle as you get, huh?
Yeah.
So and number 8, right below me, David is also a priest.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I have the great joy of having a priest brother. We two are the most middle children.
Yes.
Then went to a little country grade school, only 2 rooms.
Okay.
Grades 1 through 8.
Wow.
I had 2 other kids in my grade for the first 8 grades. Did well, graduated in the top 3 of my class. Mm-hmm. And then
how about that?
And then went to Bismarck for high school. Went to our wonderful, it's very beloved in the Diocese of Bismarck, St. Mary's Central High School.
Oh.
And then from there, went into college, got a degree in engineering, and after that, decided to give seminary a try.
Nice. Where did you go to college?
I went to a little state college in Bismarck for 2 years, and then to North Dakota State University in Fargo.
Fargo, yeah, yeah. All right, so you're a bison man.
Yes.
Not a, what are they now, fighting
Don't
hawks?
Say it. Don't even say it on the air.
All right. I won't even say it on the air. Excuse me. Well, Monsignor, great. Thank you for that. And now, before we get into the men's conference stuff, just anything you can, just vaguely, of course, but anything you can tell us about how you're excited about becoming the new rector of the St. Paul Seminary and things that you hope, that you're hopeful about, that you're prayerful about now as you come into this position for yourself, but also for the seminary?
Yes. It seems to me, what should excite a man is the potential and possibility of making a difference. And for a Christian man, making a difference on the side of Christ and for his kingdom. And it's difficult for me to think of an opportunity with a greater potential to make a greater difference for the kingdom of God, for the church, for Jesus, than forming the future priests of the church. And in a very sort of real and close local way, to be able to form those priests in the very places where my family is going to live and those I love in the states of North Dakota, South Dakota, Iowa, Minnesota, which is the great majority of men in St. Paul Seminary. So what excites me is seeing this potential to make a great difference and forming future priests and being able to form their heart in the image of Christ, the great high priest, is thrilling to me. And so that excited me very much. Secondly, I'm coming in and being drawn into a very strong and wonderful organization due to the exemplary leadership of the good Monsignor Callahan. He has done nothing less than a superb job. And I suppose there's many ways to measure a leader and his quality of leadership. For me, one of them, one of the truest ways, benchmarks, is the people you draw into that organization, the people you hire, the people you put on the bus. And when you stop by and visit the great employees, staff, administration, faculty of St. Paul Seminary, you will say, wow, there's a fine leader behind this place. And so I'm extremely grateful to Monsignor Callahan for his great leadership in what I'm inheriting as the future rector. Also, right, how could I not be excited about being under the leadership of our extraordinary good Archbishop, Archbishop Hebda? The more I get to know him, and I've known him for about, I knew him when he was just a simple, a simple, humble Monsignor. And he's always inspired me. His humility, his wisdom, his kindness, his gentleness has always inspired me. And he's the smartest guy in the room, but his humility often, you know, would cause that him to be what unassuming that way. So that's all those things excite me.
Yeah, excellent, wonderful. Well, we are blessed to have you in this position. We're grateful that the Lord has provided you for such a time as this.
Thank you, Patrick.
Yeah. Well, let's turn our sights to this, the Archdiocesan Men's Conference, which once again we'll continue saying this, but it is on March 10th. We would like you, men or ladies, if you're getting your men to register, we would like you to register online, and you can go to www.thecatholicwatchman.com. There's also a link up on the Archdiocesan website, archspm.org. We're hoping to get 1,000 men there. That's what our hope is. And so we really want to see the men turn out for this wonderful conference down at St. Thomas Academy. So you have been selected, Monsignor, as the keynote speaker at this men's conference.
Yes, the Archdiocese is desperate.
Just desperate for the Lord. That's all we are. Before we get to your remarks or your thoughts about what you'll be sharing at the men's conference, this really is a time for men to come together in fraternity. That's another thing. But Bishop Cousins outlined for us that there's really a theme of fatherhood going through this men's conference. How would you tie together the notions of fraternity and fatherhood?
Oh, yes. Well, that I think is, I suppose, obvious and simple at the same time, conceptually, right? Jesus is the model, not just of manhood. He's not just the consummate man, but he's the consummate father. Jesus is the model of fatherhood. And so for every man, biological fathers, non-biological fathers, single men, married men, the clergy, he is the model for fatherhood. And at the heart of Jesus's fatherhood is doing the will of my Father is the food that sustains me. Anyone who is a father only because he first knows how to be a son. Jesus is the model father because he's the model beloved son. It is knowing the love of his Father in heaven that makes him a father. And so that which holds up the ideal paradigm father is also the very thing that unites the brothers, which is what Fraternitas is about. The unity or brotherly love. And that brotherly love, of course, is centered in and grounded in love for Christ and his love, huh? When he brings the 12 together. That's the first fraternity. And that is rooted in their fidelity and friendship to Jesus. Now, there's also natural fraternity, and that's nothing to snafu at. It's a holy and special thing. And in many cases, that's where it begins. I had the great blessing. Didn't always appreciate it, but I have 9 brothers, as I said. Mm-hmm. And what does fraternity look like for us, us 10 Richter boys? Every year since 2000, we spend 3 days together, 3 nights together, 4 days at a hunting lodge with our dad. And we make a whether you want to call it a retreat or whatever precise term you want to give it, but we're there to grow in fraternity. And it has reaped tremendous blessings for us as brothers, for us as sons, to our dad, for a family. And then I think the basic notion, huh, Patrick, iron sharpens iron. And so if I hang around men who are good, virtuous men, who are faith-filled men, who are being generous in their friendship to Jesus, who have come to know and are convinced of the love God has for them, that iron is going to hopefully sharpen mine, where I can grow in that. Mm. Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
The best way to come to know Jesus is to be a friend of a man who knows him. And that's what this conference is all about. And so I hope for all our listeners out there that if they feel like they don't have this close, vibrant, lived relationship with Jesus, that they don't feel excluded from this. That's not this isn't about spiritual masters. This isn't about gurus. This is about guys who say, you know, wherever I'm at, I would like to know God more. I'd like to know his closeness more. I would like to know the Father's care for me more. I'd like to have a deeper relationship with Jesus. This isn't about some excluded elitist club. Also, it's not if our listeners out there are saying, well, I'm not a biological father. Well, either is your keynote.
Good point.
And so single guys shouldn't feel excluded because of the title. Even outside of Jesus, we hold up as our great example of husband and father, Joseph, who himself wasn't a biological father. And so please that we don't let that exclude anyone out there. This is shallow end, and I mean that in a positive way, non-threatening. Come and draw near and meet other good men who are trying to grow in Christ just as you are.
Yeah, and I especially appreciate the whole coming together notion of it. I think perhaps in this society, especially in our day and age, there are temptations galore to be isolated from one another, to not really open up, to not really reach out. You know, studies show again and again that men are, we're really bad at forming deep friendships with other men, at least for the long haul. We might have some good friends in high school or in college, but that fades away over time. And here's an opportunity. Here's an opportunity to come close, to get to know some other folks, and be together in that common exploration of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit together. Yeah.
Thanks for mentioning that, Patrick. I think the real issue today for humanity, but in a particular way for men, the real issue today, both on a natural and spiritual level, is relationality. Do I know how do I know how to enter into real lived relationships? It's not something new because of the iPhone, although the iPhone and everything else has compounded it. The problem originates in the Garden of Eden. Before the fall, Adam was deeply relational with God. He knew God's profound closeness and care, and he knew how to bring his heart to his dear God and to his dear wife Eve. His life was filled with close relationships, and he knew how to enter into them. After the fall, the most distinguishing factor of the post-fall Adam and the pre-fall Adam is he is now alone in himself. Alone, feeling alone. Alone, separated from God. Alone, separated from his wife Eve. And in many ways, all of salvation is breaking out of a self-made aloneness in my heart. And faith is about the Holy Spirit, who is the relationship between the Father and the Son, getting my heart to break out of this slavery of being alone in me, thinking about me, focused on me, having a conversation with me about me, usually around things I'd like to change about me.
Yeah.
But I can't. Mm. And I need someone to give me grace for that. But at the heart of it is my heart needs to turn, to reach out, to relate.
Guys, are you convinced yet? Don't you think you're going to get something great out of this Archdiocesan Men Conference? And Monsignor Richter is only one segment of it. But if you haven't done so already, Monsignor, I mean, you've given us so much to chew on already, but could you give us a little bit of a sneak peek into what you plan to be addressing on the day of the conference and with your keynote speech?
Yeah, well, I don't know if this is an exciting description, but I hope to try to articulate in accessible language, not highfalutin theological language, but language the way North Dakota men speak. to articulate in basic language that anyone can understand, namely how to enter into the love God has for me, the goodness God has for me, how to enter into that relationship with God, if you want to say receiving mercy, receiving love, peace, whatever, basically how to receive all that God wishes to give me by the exercise of faith. To put it in a word picture, a biblical example, to help the man who is in the situation of the elder son in the parable of the prodigal son. I have slaved my whole life for you, Father, and you haven't given me so much as a kid goat. And the father says, everything I have, I've given you. But this son doesn't know how to receive this from his dad. I think we would be wise to see ourselves in the footsteps of that son. And how do I begin to receive all this, everything? Hmm.
All right, thecatholicwatchman.com. That's how we sign up to come and hear that just, wow, wonderfully tempting little teaser trailer you gave us of the talk. Monsignor Richter, I'm afraid our time is short, but since the blessings of God abound, and we've already had an on-air blessing from Bishop Cousins, but could I ask you as well for a prayer and a blessing?
Certainly, Patrick. All you dear listeners out there, all you men and women, young and old, children, all those who simply wish to be closer and closer to God, may his profound blessing, may the outpouring of his beautiful Holy Spirit and the fire of that Spirit's love descend upon you and all those you love. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. Monsignor Thomas Rector, keynote speaker at the Archdiocesan Men's Conference coming up on March 10th, as well as rector-elect at the St. Paul Seminary. After this, we are going to come back with Dave Rinaldi, who's leading a breakout session at the conference, and he works for Net Ministries. He's going to join us. Stay with us. Rediscover.
What does Relevant Radio mean to you?
Every day, I learn something new, and I'm filled with so much joy. And after about 6 months, I went to confession and started going to Mass again and receiving the Eucharist. If it weren't for you and what you do, I'd still be lost out there.
We hear from so many who may have wandered away from the church, wandered away from the sacraments, and there's something about what they hear on Relevant Radio, the Holy Spirit at work in their lives, bringing them back to church.
Relevant Radio is listener-supported radio. Please consider making a donation today. Join our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. Recurring gift partners provide a stable source of income for Relevant Radio, helping to reduce both expense and dependency on pledge drives. Join our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society today at relevantradio.com, keyword gift, or call 1-877-291-0123. 1-877-291-0123.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. Patrick Conley with you again, along with our producer, Susanna Parent, Paul Sadek, our technical producer, coming to you from the Relevant Radio Studios, 1330 a.m. out in Golden Valley, Minnesota. Glad to be out here on this second Sunday of Lent as we're coming into that. We're speaking today about the Archdiocesan Men's Conference. Guys, you know, I'm looking over some of the details, and there's really no excuse, all right? So it's on a Saturday, for one. So most of you don't have to take any time off to come. Saturday, March 10th. It starts at 9:30 a.m. That means you can still have a nice sleep in and then still get up and get there in time. It starts at 9:30 a.m. It just goes to 4 p.m., so you can get home for a nice dinner with the family, or if you're on your own, maybe you can go out even that night and, see a movie or something, unless you've given that up for Lent, of course. It's a new location this year. It's at St. Thomas Academy in Mendota Heights. That's pretty central. That's not too hard to get to. And here's the kicker. You know, what would you expect to pay for a conference that has, again, hopefully 1,000 or more men at it? We're going to have Mass. We're going to have breakout sessions, which we'll talk with Dave Rinaldi in just a moment. We're going to have an opportunity for confession. There's going to be music. There's going to be all sorts of wonderful opportunities to meet and fellowship with other guys and to learn about our faith, to learn about our loving relationship with the Lord. How much would you expect to pay? Yeah, it's what would I say? It's $50. Would you say, oh, yeah, that's great. Well, I've got better news. Is it $35? No, it's $25, guys, $25. And that's for the whole day and all of this experience. So no excuse. TheCatholicWatchman.com, register there, or go to archspm.org and look for the look on the events tab there for the Archdiocesan Men's Conference. Joining us now on the phone is Dave Rinaldi, who's originally from Connecticut, but he must have wised up somewhere along the line because he's here in Minnesota now. He is the program director for Net Ministries. He and his wife Linda, were married in 2002, and they live in South St. Paul with their sons Anthony, Dominic, and Rocco. David, welcome to the program.
Patrick, thank you. It's so good to be on the show with you.
Yeah, good to have you. Thank you again for joining us. So I'm just excited. We got to know Monsignor Richter a little bit here, and tell us a little bit more about who you are, Dave. How long have you been with Net Ministries again?
I've been with Net for about 20 years now, and I still can't believe it. It's a dream job for me because I get to come in every day and share the love of God with so many great people.
That's great. That's great. And we mentioned your sons. How old are your sons now?
My oldest is 14. My second son is just turning 12, and my third son is 9.
That's great. Wow, what great ages. And are you going to drag them along to the men's conference as well?
We're debating that.
Okay.
You know what's funny is, I'm just guessing one of the questions you're going to ask is, you know, what are you going to talk about? But really, an event like this, it's much more than what the speakers talk about. It's just young men being there with their dads is what I'm excited about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can teach the faith all day long, but I think young guys, they catch the faith like they catch the flu. You got to be around other people that are contagious.
Amen.
And so I'm hoping that a lot of these men are bringing their teenage sons so they can really catch the faith just by being around godly men.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Yeah, well, unpack a little bit more about specifically what you're going to be talking about in this breakout session. Now, is there a particular demographic that you're going to be leading this breakout session for?
Yes, Patrick. They have me pegged to work with all the teenagers that are there, so up through high school, I believe. And for me, you know, the whole conference is about fatherhood, but I think, you know, we have to back up what a lot of men are asking. In fact, I would say most men, whether they're teenagers or adults, is what does it really mean to be a man? You know, in other cultures and other times around the world, there were certain rites of passages that society said, you are a man now. And now we have a bunch of males, you know, walking around, but they don't know, do I have what it takes to be a man? Do I have it? Do I have the stuff? And I know just from my own experience, I grew up in a lot of man, doing a lot of man activities. You know, I was a martial artist through high school and then in a college fraternity, and then I flew airplanes with the Air Force, which was predominantly men. So I grew up in a lot of male surroundings, and in each of those surroundings, the guys, you know, want to know, do I have what it takes? And so what I plan on doing with the high school age men and the middle school young boys and men is looking at what does it take to be a man? What is a man? Specifically, what is a man of virtue? You know, virtue is something that an older generation was taught. Today, in public school and even in most Catholic schools that I'm aware of, young people aren't learning about virtue and what does it mean to be a virtuous person. So in one of the sessions, I'll be looking at that. I'll be using the analogy in Ephesians chapter 6 about putting on the full armor of God and trying to equip these young men who are in a battle with the culture and in a battle just with society's values being different from virtuous values that we talk about in the church. So how can they equip themselves to stand firm and live their Catholic faith?
Actually, that's a great point, Dave, and I was going to ask you about that anyway. So you've been working with youth and young people, but certainly young men, for a long time now. What are some of those societal challenges that are most predominant right now, that are facing our kids and specifically our young men?
Sure. One is I heard Monsignor Richter talk about men and relationships and forming relationships and how that's lacking. And that is true with the younger demographics as well. And it's not just because of social media, but it plays a big role that young guys, what does it mean to be a friend? What does it mean to have other men in their lives? My own kids will talk about that, how, you know, boys at school can be two-faced or can just be self-centered. So they're dealing with that. The whole sexual arena and gender issues, we're having to ask questions now that boys 20 years ago didn't ask. You know, by a lot, like, what defines a boy? What defines a man? Is it chromosomes? Is it how you feel on a certain day? So there's all these issues that the boys are getting enculturated into. I mean, society is impacting them at the core of their very identity. You know, what does it mean? Who am I? What is my sexual identity? Questions that people didn't really ask a generation ago, young boys are asking today.
Right. Yeah, and so what's our response? I mean, as a society and as a church, how can we help equip these boys for a life of virtue, as you brought up, to staying pure, not just sexually, but certainly sexually, but staying pure in terms of their own motivations, their own dedication to the Lord? What are some practical things that that we can do to assist our young people, and again, specifically our young boys and young men?
Sure. Again, it's kind of ironic that I say this because I am a speaker. I do a lot of speaking around the diocese, and it's you know, the one of the main ways I provide for my family. And I say that kind of tongue in cheek because more than anything I or anyone else can say to these young men, I'm convinced that nothing is going to help them outside of an encounter with the ultimate man, Jesus Christ. That in order for a young boy to navigate his way and to make it into Christian manhood, he has to encounter Christ, specifically in the sacraments. So part of what I strongly recommend is helping young boys see that they need Jesus, first of all, and B, they need him and his church. And so trying to really point boys to the sacraments, that it's not about Mass being exciting or boring, but it's an encounter with Christ. Trying to help them to develop a life of prayer, a life of service. You know, the scripture verse that most people, whether they're Christian or not, know if they've been to any kind of sporting event, it's John 3:16. And just that first line, Patrick, that for God so loved that he gave, that being a father or being a man, if you are those two things, if you're a man, if you're a father, a real man that is, then if you're going to love is giving. And love means you're giving of yourself by serving others, that a man and a father protects others, that he lays down his life for others. And so I think by giving young boys opportunities to do those things, you know, to love by serving, by, you know, really equipping them to stand up to peer pressure and protect those kids that are getting picked on. And ultimately, you know, just letting them know that you have what it takes, you know, just that affirmation of you are my son. You are God's son. You're son of the Father.
Right. And you've already started answering this, but if you can talk about it a bit more, I'd love it. So my next question was going to be something along the lines of, what would you say to especially youth, I'm thinking again, and young men who say that, well, yeah, but Dave, this all sounds a little girly for me. I mean, you're talking about love, you're talking about relationship, you're talking about, you know, these things that we tend to look at and say, well, that's not real manly things. How would you respond to that sort of an accusation?
You know, it's funny. I'm not sure how much time we have, so I'll make this quick. But I was took my kids to Dairy Queen late in the fall. We walked there, and on the way home, we were crossing the street, and a car stopped at the intersection, but then just started going and was coming right toward us. And just instinctively, and it wasn't going super fast because it had just stopped, but it was coming toward us. I jumped in front of my three sons and just started yelling to get the driver's attention. I threw my hands up. It ended up, it wasn't a big deal. The guy didn't see me. But when we got home, all three of my sons, my 14-year-old, my 12-year-old, my 9-year-old, they couldn't wait to tell mom what dad did. And wow, mom, dad jumped in front of a car and he saved us. And, you know, on the one hand, if articulated a certain way, like, oh, being a Christian means loving, and it could sound somewhat feminine, but the ultimate sign of love is the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, and there's nothing more manly than that. You know, so the fact of that love gives, meaning love lays down their life, and I often challenge young guys, do you have what it takes? Well, yes, you do in the sense that if you're a baptized Christian, you have the Trinity dwelling within you. But if you want to prove yourself as a man, you prove it by following Jesus. It's the ultimate thing that any young man or any older man can do is to lay down his life. I'm a big fan of watching saint movies with my sons or reading books on saints because it shows that this is not some kind of a lighthearted, touchy-feely thing, but this is, and you don't get more real manhood than following Christ.
Amen to that. Dave Rinaldi, thank you so much for joining us on the Rediscover Hour. We look forward to hearing you at the Archdiocesan Men's Conference, and God bless you in all the work that you do with Net Ministries.
Oh, Patrick, thank you, and thanks so much for the work you're doing as well.
All right, thank you. Again, men or ladies who are listening who need to get your men to go, I mean, we're going to hit this in our calendar events that are coming up in just after the next break, but it's the Archdiocesan Men's Conference. It's March 10th, Saturday, from 9:30 a.m. to 4 p.m., $25 at all it is. You can find all sorts of registration links at thecatholicwatchman.com, at our own webpage, rediscover-faith.org, and at archspm.org. There's many ways to register. Guys, get out there, register, and then, show up for this conference that it will prove to be life-changing. We're going to head into our final break, and as we do, we've got other things going on as well, so stay with us. Things for men and women, so stay with us just after this.
Seems like the roller coaster stock market has everyone on edge lately. What if you could find something safe and secure that's guaranteed to grow, no matter what the market does? If you want to safely tuck your hard-earned money away, but still want growth, your friends at Catholic United have just the answer, a Catholic United annuity. Their current first-year crediting rate for new annuities is 3%, with a guaranteed annual rate of 1.5%, better than most bank CDs you'll find. Catholic United annuities are safe with zero account service fees, and you can set them up like a Roth or traditional IRA. Plus, if you want, you can even create monthly, quarterly, or yearly income payments back to yourself. What's not to like about that? Guarantee yourself a positive return, free from stock market risk. Go to CatholicUnitedFinancial.org and find your local rep who can walk you through all the options. Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they are there for life. Give them a call today.
Corner of my life, and I can see for miles.
Wow, Paul, what is that?
I'm not sure.
That's kind of neat. I like that. Wow,
I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, exactly. Paul, welcome to the program. But you're always here.
I'm like a bad penny. You just can't get rid of me.
That's right. We just gave you a microphone now. So yeah. What do we got coming up?
Tons of things. Well, first, the big one that we've been talking about. Bishop Andrew Cousins invites all men, fathers, and sons to the Archdiocesan Men's Conference, Saturday, March 10th at St. Thomas Academy, Mendota Heights. Theme this year, Building Christian Fathers, with keynote speaker Monsignor Thomas Richter, the new rector of the St. Paul Seminary. Conference includes mass breakout sessions with dynamic speakers and an opportunity for the Sacrament of Reconciliation. Check online for registration at rediscover-faith.org. For questions, call Enzo Randazzo, 651-291-4483.
St. John Newman in Eagan invites you to their parish retreat February 25th to 28th on the theme, The Eucharist, Sacrament of Mercy, with Father Jim Kubicki. Father Kubicki is a regular contributor to Catholic radio stations, including this one, throughout the country via the Relevant Radio Network. Oh, well, there you go. For more information, visit SJN for St. John Newman, .org, or contact Nicole Betney at 651-209-8588. One more time, 651-209-8588.
24 Hours for the Lord is a day-long outpouring of God's loving mercy through the Sacrament of Reconciliation in the holy season of Lent. The Cathedral of St. Paul invites you to 24 Hours for the Lord, starting on Friday, March 9th, 8 a.m. to Saturday, March 10th, 8 a.m., Eucharistic adoration will be held throughout, except for Mass at 5:15 p.m. on Friday evening.
Yeah, that's going to be great. What an initiative by Pope Francis. That's a good thing.
I would also add, check your local parish. Some parishes are offering their own rendition of 24 Hours for the Lord.
Very good. Well, another thing going on at the cathedral, join us for an evening with George Weigel on Wednesday, March 14th, from 7 to 8:30 p.m. George Weigel, who's the author of the renowned biography of Pope John Paul II, Witness to Hope, will discuss his new book, Lessons in Hope, which will be available for purchase at the event. Mr. Weigel will be on hand afterwards for a book signing. This event is free and open to the public. For more information, visit cathedralstpaul.org.
And join local author and speaker Elizabeth Kelly in an 8-week Bible study based on her new book, Jesus Approaches, What Today's Woman Can Learn About Healing, Freedom, and Joy from the Women of the New Testament. strengthen the tether between your heart and the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Join us this spring. Bible study is offered at three locations on three different days. Monday evenings, April 2 to May 21, 6:30 to 8 p.m. at St. Ambrose in Woodbury. Tuesday evenings, April 3rd to May 22nd, 7 to 8:30 p.m., St. Hedwig's in Minneapolis. Thursday mornings with childcare from April 5th to May 24th, 9:30 to 11 a.m. at St. Hubert in Chanhassen. Visit the events page at rediscover-faith.org. And what's up next week?
Next week, we're back to our Great Catholic Parishes show. As it's the first weekend of the month, we'll be featuring St. Wenceslaus in New Prague. Lynn Stieka will join us on air to share about their weekly Breakfast with Dads ministry. We'll also hear from P.J. Butler, member of the Communion and Liberation, who will share with us about the Way of the Cross Twin Cities, and Elizabeth Kelly, who will be on air to share about just what Paul was talking about, the women's scripture study, Jesus Approaches. Until then, folks, go to church and be the church.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday evening at 9, Saturday at noon, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. Brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. You can find show archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.